lead up to the May 20th, 2008 Oregon primary election, KBOO will be hosting a number of live call-in forums with candidates for local and state offices. From May 5th to the 16th, from 7:30 to 9 each weekday morning, listen to KBOO and learn about your local candidates for City Council, Mayor, U.S. Congress, and U.S. Senate. For the full schedule of participating candidates, check the KBOO website at www.kboo.fm.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Art Focused with the Mural Project. We've got Joanne Alexiak, Mark Meltzer, and Chris Habersham, our Julie Bernard's guests today. And without further ado, we bring you Art Focus.
Allons dansons. Écoutez et répétez. Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style. And I see a cubist painting, I just gotta smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name's Cézanne. Cézanne, 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 the father of cubism. Well, some people say that it was Picasso. Other people claim it was the Chirico. Some people think it was Modigliani. But they're all crazy. It was Paul Cézanne. Cézanne,
Cubism. What a surprise. Anyway, this morning I'm pleased to announce that the Portland Mural Show is happening right now, and people from the Portland Mural Show are here to talk about it. And we have Alexiak, who has been here before.
Joanne Alexiak, yes.
Joanne, and would you introduce yourself and say something about what you do?
Well, just real quick, I'll say that I am one of the few people that founded Portland Mural Defense, and we've been paying attention to murals for about 4 years now here in town. And I'm one of the co-conspirators on this Portland Mural Show that we just did.
Good. That was a great introduction. I'm glad that you feel that way about yourself, that you are insisting on murals no matter what.
No matter what, yeah.
And that is good, as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other people. And then we have Mark
Meltzer.
Meltzer. Mark Meltzer, and whose name I will remember. Because he was on before with Tom Kramer one time to talk about painting the Kramer mural, which I don't know if we can call it the Kramer mural. What
yes.
do we call it? But it's famous.
It's a Tom Kramer mural.
And he was a big part of that.
Oh yes,
keeping people straightened out and out of the paint cans, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so he's going to be one of the chief speakers about the mural show, and I'm glad that he's here because he's an important part of the whole episode.
Yeah, Mark's been doing murals for 20 years.
He's a he says he's not a mural painter. He says he's a house painter.
Right.
But I'm beginning to realize his style. I can spot it anywhere. Can't I? Anyway, he's going to talk about the murals and how the show went. And then we have Mr. Habermann. Introduce yourself.
Hi, sir. I'm Chris Habermann, and I'm the curator for the Portland Mural Show, and also a co-conspirator and Portland muralist and artist. I'm a native Portlander. I curate a bunch of events in Portland, and this event came about, and it was great to work with both Joanne and Mark on this, and all the artists. We have so many artists in the show. We just had our kickoff on Friday, and it's been well received by everyone.
Okay. And you are sort of everywhere because I understand that you're hooked up with a guy that we all know,
yep.
Gavin.
I am, Mr. Gavin Shetler. That's right. I was a volunteer with the Portland Arts Center, and now Gavin and I are also working together on the Milepost 5. It's also an associated building with where the Portland Mural Show is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the last advertising we're going to do for you.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Today. But the rest of us are going to get together on our mural show, which is Murals by Everybody. Do you want to tell us, who would like to tell us what the history of this is?
Of the show itself?
Yes.
Well, as best I remember, Joe Cotter and I were kicking around the idea a few months back and had no clue where we would mount this idea, you know, where the show could take place, because clearly if you're going to do something about murals, you needed a huge space.
It takes a huge space. Yeah. Murals go on forever, don't they?
They can.
And they're hot.
And
hot.
So Mark had a good association with Chris. They had worked together on a project on Alberta. And it just so happened that Chris had this space, and it had nothing planned for the months of May and June. And boing.
Yep.
The vortex came together.
Yeah. Who did you approach in order to get this space, or have they been yielding this space for years?
Oh, well, Chris is the curator.
I'm the curator for the building.
Oh, I see.
It's only been open since November. It's the old B&O building. It's now called the Olympic Mills Commerce Center. And the ground floor has been pretty much turned into a 24,000 square foot gallery space.
I see.
So really the only place in Portland, I think, I mean, it's now the largest gallery on East Portland, and it's the only space, I think, besides some abandoned warehouse where the Portland Mural Show could really right. actually occur.
And can people go in there almost any time?
Yes, it's open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6.
There's a coffee shop
mm-hmm,
in there.
There is.
It's a going coffee shop. Yep. I think it's very popular.
It's been there forever, yeah.
Smells good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've been taking full advantage this last few weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's a very interesting building. It's extremely clean.
Mm-hmm.
And the murals look good in there.
The murals are pretty clean, too.
Yeah. But do people find their way down there in droves? I mean, did you have a lot of people to the opening?
Yeah, I think we had over 500 people at the opening this last Friday, and we expect more at our closing party at the end of June.
And it must have taken the artists a long time to get those murals in and looking right.
Yeah, there's some existent murals, and then there's a lot of process. It's such an interesting show because the muralists usually don't have a show. They do murals in public art. So to get them all in an enclosed space and have their personal work and show the process of what they're doing is a pretty amazing task, that we can have both the process and show their personal work and have some existent murals that have been reconstructed.
Sure. Well, now, how are they archived, or do you know that?
Well, in the show,
so
there's...
Tell me what you do, please.
Yeah, what do I...
Again.
Well, Julie, you know,
I try
to be, you know, deliberately self-effacing, but I'm a house painter.
I'm a house painter. I know that.
But
he's
also I work on murals, too.
Mark makes murals happen. Mm-hmm. It's a very subtle process.
It's the happening I want to know.
There's two actual murals in the show, and I helped with them. I was an organizer with one of them, and I was a volunteer on both of them. One of them is the Struggle and Hope mural, and that was painted in 1988. It was painted on panels, and when it hung on the corner of 14th and Yamhill, when that building changed hands, the owner took down the panels, and then those panels were subsequently liberated. I don't want to get into that, how that happened, but we removed them from the basement of that building at 14th and Yamhill, and they have been in storage for the last 18 years. So this is the first time that this mural has been out in public in 18 years. It's 12 foot by 24, and it's quite something to see it out. There's enough room at the Olympic Mills Commerce Center to actually hang something that's 12 feet high by 24 feet long.
It's totally breathing again.
Say a little bit about the subject matter of that mural.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, please. Yeah, go.
Well, Struggle and Hope, it was a mural that was sponsored by the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee and the Portland Corinto, Nicaragua Sister City Project. And at the time, it was not all that long ago that Ben Linder had been killed in Nicaragua. And so the mural not only commemorated his life and the work that he had done in Nicaragua bringing electricity to villages, but also what was happening in Central America at the time with President Reagan and a war going on there and the U.S. doing a lot of bombing. So this mural commemorates that struggle, and because of that, the mural had a difficult time finding a wall in order to exist.
Well, you come up against the city, right?
Well, more recently, we have had some challenges from big media. Probably all KBOO listeners are aware that Clear Channel has made it next to impossible to easily paint a mural in this town. They sued the city of Portland. We could talk for hours about that.
Well,
but
I need to have a brief, strong outline. What happened?
Well, the best news is that after 10 years of Joe Cotter filing legal appeals.
Joe Cotter is a hero.
He's an amazing muralist. He also could be an attorney by this point.
Self-taught lawyer.
But pro se, volunteer attorney. He's had a little advice from attorneys, but Joe was able to have artists in the trial in 2006, I think it was, October. Finally, the thing came to the courtroom, Judge Michael Marcus. And Joe was able to bring muralists to the stand to testify about the difference between signs and art.
Well, besides looking like a holy man, he is also very intelligent.
And Joe's very smart.
He's smart, and he knows how to approach the city in the proper manner, and he knows all the words, and the style, his style is very appealing, and they're scared to death of him, I think, because he's so real.
Well, it's very unusual for an artist to be involved in such a long legal battle, but fortunately, the decision by Judge Michael Marcus put murals back in their rightful place as equal in the public realm, as Joe might say.
And who did this? Who is responsible for this happening?
Well, the judge that made the decision in the trial is Judge Michael Marcus. If anyone wants to know more about the trial, they can contact us. And there's documents on the internet that you can read. Portland Public Art, the blog, not the other one, has a lot of material. So people can go there. But we'll talk a little more about the show, I think.
Well, this is very important, too, to make the people aware of the controversy that's happened between the city and the muralists, all different kinds of muralists.
Right.
In particular, the ones that go up the sides of buildings and mark close to the top.
Well, just a quick update. Where we are right now is waiting for the city to write the actual legal language, and that will need to be voted on by the Planning Bureau and then later by City Council. And we expect that to happen sometime in the fall, but there's no clear timeline yet. But the good news is that the existing Regional Arts and Culture mural program is operating, and we hope there will be a second avenue for murals really soon.
Okay. Apparently my microphone is a little quiet and I'm hollering like mad. So anyway, if you can't hear me, be sure to say so. And now it's your turn, my friend.
Oh, okay.
You get to talk. We are going to let you talk and say anything that you like about this mural event.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about the history.
Oh, good. Julie. That'd be good.
One of the people who was a huge inspiration for a lot of us was Charlotte Lewis, and she passed in 1999, and we have a room in the show, which is basically a memorial to Charlotte. It has some of her beautiful artwork and some of her quilts. So I'd like to get that information out in public. Charlotte was really a true community artist, selfless, did a lot of beautiful work around Portland. You can see her work. There's a mural on Shaver and Martin Luther King that Charlotte helped out. Charlotte did some wonderful work on that. Now is the time is now.
that spirited that, work, and we took it in yesterday, and it still is holds that spirit. It's wonderful that she can that she was able to get so much life and zest for life when she was so ill, and she but she's put it all into the work. It's wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you know we have that memorial for Charlotte. We also have another mural that we worked on in 1992 called We Speak. It's 500 Years of Resistance. It was painted as a way of displaying voices that we felt were silenced during that whole Columbus quincentenary hoopla in 1992. That mural is currently, you know, it's in a warehouse. Mm-hmm. Now and it doesn't see the light of day at all
until
but
Friday.
We're drag it out
until now. Yeah, yeah.
Soon yeah. in the Rose Festival parade.
But just Julie, to,
it's portable, but not that portable.
to get back to what Joanne was saying about there's an ongoing negotiation with the city to change the sign code so that we're trying to create the city have to give them their due. They're trying to create a process where it'd be easier, simpler to do murals in the city of Portland. That negotiation is ongoing, but hopefully we'll see by the end of the year, we will see a new sign code basically.
Uh-huh. Well, so things are picking up for the muralist persons and artists, I think. You've got a more open a bunch of listeners and lookers. Is that true? And that's going to be good.
Right. I mean, basically.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're happy about
that. I mean, we have to state the good things as well as the bad, because it's not all bad all the time. Is it?
No.
Okay. Have you got anything to offer, my friend?
With all the history? Well, it's been such an amazing process putting the show together, because I'm very familiar with a lot of maybe some younger artists or artists doing some more like outsider street work. And then with this show, it gave me a real formal sense of what's going on with murals. I painted a mural. Mark helped me with a mural I did with Jennifer Mercedes last year, and that's how I kind of got involved with the mural community. So it's been 1 year that I've been in this, and I saw Joe Cotter. You know, I saw him sit up and speak. I thought he was Paul Dahlquist originally, but that they do look similar. But I mean, it's been great to work with all the champions for this cause, because murals are such a public forum, and it's nice to see this entire group of people. We have over 30 artists in the show, and it's just been amazing to work with such different range of people and ages and artwork mm-hmm. for the entire show.
Well, Chris, do you ever paint murals yourself?
Yeah.
Then?
That's how I met Mark.
Oh, mm-hmm. Did you tell me that before?
I don't know if I did.
To say it. We can say it
right.
more than once.
On Alberta, I painted a mural, yeah.
On Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the most spectacular murals in this city? Can you?
Depends on how you define spectacular, I guess.
Well, we should mention Isaka Samshadeen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He has some beautiful murals in and around town, and I understand that he is leaving town. Can you imagine that?
That would be a huge loss for the city of Portland.
It really would be. But we may have to put up with him going to New York or something.
Well, Isaka has been a great inspiration. When I first moved to Portland in 1978, his Vanport mural and the other projects that he did were still on the wall, and those were very powerful, very strong murals.
Uh-huh.
As far as murals that are on walls today, unfortunately, some of Izaka's work is stored, and I think that would be wonderful to see that up again for people to be able to enjoy it and learn from it. He uh-huh. he talks about some very serious chapters in Portland's history. of the artists that are in this show, and I have to say the show is growing because I was contacted just yesterday by two more people that have work that they would love to include. And if there's any way possible, we'll figure out how to do that.
I think we should get it up soon. And have another introduction to this showing of these fine murals.
Sure.
And but, make a lot of colorful noise about it.
Yeah. And and of the artists that you can see today, you could walk over to Olympic Mills Commerce Center, you will find, and this is just a few, Robin Corbo is very well represented. There's photographs of her mural in process, the women's history mural, Women Making History. Mm-hmm. Jesse Reno has a really wonderful piece, very well displayed in this show. Larry Kangas did something very unusual and talked about the process that he used to create the Park Rose High School mural.
So they all discussed their art before they show before the show. Did they give a day to that?
We had a few speakers at the opening. Baba Wage was one of the speakers. Adrienne Cruz spoke about Charlotte Lewis's work. Uh-huh. And Martin Gonzalez, who is one of the coordinators of the We Speak mural, also talked at the opening. And of those murals that they mentioned, Mark was talking about the Charlotte Lewis display, and that's by itself in a small room. You can stroll around the hallways and see Bruce Orr's puppets and some sketches that he made for the scrap mural. Mark Larson, an artist who's been doing work in Portland for a long time, he's got a lot of work, including some things he painted on window shades. I mean, it's really remarkable how many people are using recycled materials to paint on.
A master of stagecraft.
Yeah. And then Angelina Marino has a giant mural on canvas, plus some paintings. When we put the call out originally, we said to people, if you've ever done an outdoor mural or been part of a crew that has done an outdoor mural, bring us your photos, your process shots, your sketches, your drawings. Maybe you have a new painting you want to show off just to show the range of what you know how to do. And people flooded us with artwork.
Mm-hmm. I bet they did. Now, when you put out a call like this, where do you call? From whence do you call?
Well,
platform.
Chris had MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace, Craigslist, and then word of mouth. It kind of came through. I mean, this show is very representative of Portland, but we don't have everyone that's ever done a mural in Portland here. But really, I mean, it's a nice slice of the talent and the hard people, you know, all the hard work people have put into making murals in the city.
There's one line of murals that represents a whole bunch of people. And it's done in different mediums. Do you know the one I'm talking about? And one of the mediums is kind of the orange that's on there is sort of, it's like it has lights behind it.
Like pretty vibrant.
Yeah, very vibrant.
I think was it on the ground?
It's alive.
Is it on the ground in sectional panels?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the We Speak mural. Yeah,
This sectional panel is very interesting in that all of the donations to art are very different, styles.
Yeah,
and there is not much representative of people there. It's more representative of style, but it's extremely interesting how people can how human it looks. I mean, it's like people. It isn't human form, but it's like people. You can tell who's who in there.
Right.
Well, before I forget, I wanted to mention one way people can get in touch with us. Well, I take that back. Two ways. One is, we have an email address that's a shared email. Mark, Chris, and I, all three of us have access to this, and we'll answer you. So if you want to get in touch for any reason, you want to learn more about the show or have a speaker come to your school to talk about murals or have somebody come to an art project, just email us at theportlandmuralshow@gmail.com. Very easy to remember. Theportlandmuralshow@gmail.com.
Plus the MySpace, of course. It's myspace.com/Olympic Mills Art. And can I give the address to the building, too, really
quick? Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's the important
thank
thing.
Thank you.
You can't miss it. It's the old B&O building. It's now called the Olympic Mills Commerce Center, and it's on 107 Southeast Washington.
And watch out for the train.
That's right.
And it's painted a very unusual gold color. God, so when
you're going to try to
miss it.
Park, or from time to time you might be saying something very important, the train will come right through it.
And then the other way people can get involved is we are having a meeting this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the Olympic Mills Center, Commerce Center, and that's going to be at 6 o'clock, and we'll be making plans for the giant party for the closing of the mural show, and that's coming up on June 28th. That's a Saturday. Chris could maybe say a little more about what's being planned for that.
It's 11 to 6, and it's going to be completely open to the public. We're going to have over 20 live painters, including, there's so many people that are going to be in it. I think hopefully Mr. Tom Kramer will join us there as well.
Yeah, that's an invitation.
Yeah, that's an invitation to Tom Kramer.
Invitation.
And Tom Kramer has to bring his car. So we're looking for funny cars. We also have there's a large painted VW bug that's transformed into a large barbecue. So this is just a big open event. We probably have close to 40 live painters for that day that'll all be together outside.
Well, and we're starting to tell you over and over again, we will be telling you about this event because we consider it to be very important. And I will be reminding you because I love the murals. The idea of a mural is really exciting to me. And I love that kind of an event because it surely does bring everybody out. We're going to have good weather and there's room for a lot of people down there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to just send a shout out to Beam Development for being so supportive of the arts in town and Brad mm-hmm. Melson.
Great.
Just the fact that we've been allowed to use this space is really an honor.
Very generous. Very generous. And do you want to mention, please, again, who is lending us this space?
Yeah, I'm the creator for Beam Development, so I work with Brad Melson. He has three buildings in town. He has, and all of them are art related. He has one has been operating since 2001. We just had the 94th show at the East Bank Commerce Center, which houses the Clark Lewis Restaurant. So I curate that space and the Olympic Mills Commerce Center. And newly, I'm working with Gavin Shetler. We just have a new show coming up that will open next Friday. It's at the Milepost 5, the Art Condo building that's out on 80th and 81st in Oregon. We're going to have our 30-room show there. But Brad and Elizabeth Melson and Beam Development have been very supportive of the arts. And so this space, without this space, there's no way that we could have a historical show like the. This is the very first time that a mural show has happened in Oregon.
Yeah, it really is a historic event. And the fact,
there
just
no
another
villains?
Example.
No villains.
Bill Floyd brought a 10 by 10 foot painting in. Now, a lot of galleries would not have a wall large enough for a painting that size to look right. And Bill has a little bit of fame because of the Mirador mural, which is now boarded up.
Oh, yes.
People may remember that story.
Describe it just very
well, it got into a run-in with the city, but we're hoping that with the new process for murals that the city will be implementing in the fall, that mural will be able to be revealed once again.
What was the Mirador?
Mirador is a wonderful housewares business right on Southeast Division.
Oh, sure.
So Bill Floyd has a piece in the show. But I'm trying to think of other people. It's hard to list all 30 plus artists that were in the show, but again, you can contact us at theportlandmuralshow@gmail.com or come to our meeting next week, Wednesday at 6 o'clock. We'll have some snacks, so if you hadn't had dinner, you know, you can have a few chips.
Yeah.
Heavy snacks.
Cheese and peanut butter sandwiches pretty much kept us through the entire process of hanging the show, so I think that would probably be available.
It's good for you. Yeah. It's healthy.
Mm-hmm. That and chocolate.
Chocolate.
Join us. You know, we're looking for a lot of people to help make this party a success. And June 28th will be a very special day for another reason. There'll be some surprises. Again, I think we said Joe Cotter was out of town when the opening party happened. So we're looking forward to having Joe at that closing party.
Is he going to come in walking in a mural? or something?
We don't know. There could be a surprise or two.
I'm trying to get a picture of Joe
wonderful
Cotter.
Wonderful to think about.
I'm trying to get a picture of Joe Cotter and Extremo the Clown together. That's really my mission for that show.
Now, what does Extremo? I don't know Extremo.
Oh, Extremo the Clown is pretty much he's the pioneer of a lot of the art cars in Portland.
Yeah, and Scott is his name.
Yeah, Scott Campbell's his real name, but I probably just shouldn't reveal that. But he's also one of the major sign painters in Portland, and he does a lot of painting out in public, and he's done a lot for the community. So he's wonderful to work with.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in a clown costume.
He does. And, yeah, he does.
The whole thing, I've got
to see that. Scares me to death.
With the wicked laugh.
I never saw a clown I liked. Ever. Terrifying.
Well, Scott's an artist, so I guess he can be let off the hook that way.
Well, sometimes they change very rapidly when their whole nature can change in a hurry. And they can take off the mask and they get into the beer.
Right.
And then it clears up a lot of things.
Well, we feel... I just want to say before we run out of time how amazing it is that this show came about. And, you know, realistically, we put it together in a very short amount of time. So to have the range that we do have in this show is really remarkable. And if people out there that like art miss this, you're missing something very, very special. So come to the show.
Absolutely. You need to go. And this morning we have talked to Mark Meltzer, and have you a parting word for everybody out there anything?
Maybe a quick mention of all the muralists who are in the show. I want to say thank you. I know we haven't mentioned everybody's name, but quickly, Jay Meir has some work in the show. Sherry Love.
Sarah Stout.
Charlie Allen Craft.
Jesse Reno.
Jesse Reno.
Jennifer Mercedes.
Jason Olmsted. Courtney. Jennifer Mercedes. Yeah. So, and come down and see their work.
Larry
Support
Kangas,
the work that mural is.
Robin Corbo, Bruce Orr. Hey.
Good. Yeah. And we'll put that a little reel on that tells you all the names of all the people in the show. If you give us one, we'll do it one day. Me and Emily. and Mark, Chris Haberman, thank you so much for coming this morning.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to meet you, and I know you're doing all these good things with some of my good friends.
That's right. They're our good friends.
Yeah, they are. And Joanne.
Thank you, Julie.
Siak, you are a hardworking, wonderful woman.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was great to be here this morning.
I know it's a thankless task, a lot of the tasks that you've had your hand in, and you're making things work, and we all appreciate that.
Thank you, Julie.
And Emily is in there winding down our show this morning. Thank you, Emily, and thank you, everybody. And this is Julie Bernard and Art Focus.
And this has been the Thursday Morning Radio Zine. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, after a brief musical interlude, will be Democracy Now!
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Ironwood Holistic Care Home, providing continuing care for you or your loved one. Located in North